for what we are about to receive, today we want to spend some time looking at the purpose of giving thanks. Why do we give thanks? You know, we have a day set aside for it coming up pretty soon. And we all know the traditions that are associated with it, right? We have the Macy's Day Parade. That's Thanksgiving, right?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was Christmas, anyway. So you've got the parades, and you've got the big meals, and you've got the relatives that come over, and the traditions. What's that?
Football.
Oh, football, sorry. Yes.
Yeah, football.
Shout to the Lord, right? Okay. Obviously, I'm not a sports nut, but yeah. So we all know the traditions that are associated with it. But why do we give thanks? What is the purpose of giving thanks? Well, we're gonna take a look at three things, and there's obviously more, but we're gonna limit ourselves today to three main reasons, three major reasons why we give thanks, and some of the purposes for giving thanks. The one that we want to begin with. First of all, genuine thanksgiving changes us. Genuine thanksgiving changes us. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. When we talk about giving thanks, there's a great difference between saying thank you and actually meaning thank you. Or let me put it this way. There's a great difference between saying the word thank you and actually believing what you're saying. Because we've been raised to be courteous, or at least most of us have been. And, we're fairly polite people, especially, in a church and, just thank you for this. But when you say the word thank you, what is implied behind that is you are grateful for what has been given to you. And now whether or not that's truly the case, whether or not there is a grateful heart that's sitting behind that thank you, well, that remains to be seen. That's something that you're going to have to judge yourself. But I would suggest this, that true thankfulness, true thanksgiving can only spring from a heart that is humble. True thanksgiving can only spring from a heart that's humble, a soul that expects nothing. Because if you don't expect something, if you don't feel like you deserve something, then when you're given that something, you're thankful for it. I mean, think about it. You know, your boss comes up to you in work and hands you your paycheck. He doesn't sit around and wait for you to say thank you. Now, again, we probably, we're polite and say thank you. But, he's got to give it to us because we worked and we deserve it, right? I mean, that's something he better give it to us. But now, what happens if he just comes along and says, hey, you worked really hard today and here's a $1,000 bonus. Shout to the Lord, right? Thank you would probably be right out there. The paycheck, you got to give it to me. I mean, it's just expected. But when it's unexpected, when it's something that you don't really think you deserve, or, well, maybe you do think you deserve it, but it's something that comes along, you are so thankful for it because it wasn't there in your mind. You know, it's interesting because, and again, we have been raised in a country, and again, I think it's important to remember our Constitution gives us rights. We have the right to life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and then the Bill of Rights goes through and lists all of our rights. And so we've been raised with that mentality. But keep in mind, as Christians, we are from another country, right? We are citizens of another country. And what needs to drive our what needs to motivate us and needs to drive our actions is the idea that we are only here because God has shown us grace. And the only way, the only reason that we have anything that we do is because God has been good to us and God has shown us His graciousness. And you know, that really, that's why Christians of all people should be thankful. Because we look and we say, wow, I don't deserve anything. I'm deserving of death and I'm deserving of hell. That's what I'm entitled to. That's my rights that I can embrace. And yet, we see a God who sends His only begotten Son. You know, we're going to celebrate that here in the not-too-distant future. Some earlier than others. I've already, my wife wants to pick out a Christmas tree fairly soon, but she's already got me humming Christmas carols. But, when we talk about Christmas time, Christmas really, I think it's appropriate that the precursor to Christmas is Thanksgiving, because it kind of sets the tone. Because truly, we should be thankful for the gift that God gave us, because we were undeserving of it. And so genuine thanksgiving is motivated by what's inside. It's motivated by an idea that there is something that we've been given that we don't deserve, something that was unexpected, that was unplanned, or undeserved gift. You know, think about Christmas morning. There's a lot of thank yous going on, right? We have a tradition in our home, or at least, you know, with my parents, what we would do is we'd always get up Christmas morning, and then we'd all open our presents together, because we all wanted to be around. And when we opened the gifts, we would always, you know, there's thanks for this, I wanted that, oh, that's wonderful, thank you. And there's all these thank yous going on, because there's so many gifts that are going on, things that are unexpected. It was, oh, that's such a pleasant surprise, thank you for that, thank you. And so genuine thanksgiving will come from a heart that is humble, a heart that is expecting nothing. Another thing that I want you to think about here, and this falls under the category of our hearts being changed, the Bible, and specifically Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, many of the Psalms talk about, use the phrase sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that phrase. It's kind of interesting, because we sing it in songs and we read it in the Bible. But what does it mean to have a sacrifice of praise? Well, we can hearken back to the Old Testament, and we can think about when believers in the Old Testament were sacrificing something, when they were bringing an offering of praise, they actually had to give up something. They would actually bring an animal that would be sacrificed, and it was something they had to give up. It cost them something. Now, it's interesting, words don't cost us very much, do they? Words are cheap. They're very, not that they're not important, but it's very easy to say something. It's very easy to say thank you. But ultimately, as Christians, our lives ought to be driven by thanksgiving. Our lives ought to be directed by thanksgiving, because it's going to change the way that you live our lives. I mean, if you are truly thankful, that if you feel like you're humble and you feel like, God, I don't deserve this, but you gave it to me anyway, won't that affect the way that you live your life? I mean, think about it. If you have been given that $1,000 bonus at work, right? Now, you might not like that boss too much, but you're probably going to be pretty nice to him the rest of the day, right? Because he gave you something. He gave you something that you weren't expecting. And wow, that thankfulness, boy, that's going to change the way that you behave. And so really, our lives ought to be different if we are truly thankful to God for what He has given to us. I think sometimes what we fall into the trap of thinking that we deserve so much, so then when we are blessed, we don't even see God's blessing anymore. You know, it's just expected, right? I mean, well, of course I had that coming to me because I worked hard, or whatever you want to list. But if you keep in mind that we are deserving of nothing, and yet God lavished upon us His Son. You know, and He just poured it upon us. His Son who died on the cross to take our sins, His Son who was undeserving. That changes you. That changes the way that you live our lives. I've been harping on this in Sunday school class, but, you know, I said one of the things that frustrates me most of all are cocky Christians. Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't line up with what has happened to you. Because if you have been given a gift by God that you were undeserving of, how could you go around and act like you deserved it and act like you're somehow better than other people? It doesn't make any sense. I think of all people, Christians should be the most humble, because you realize just how much you didn't deserve and yet how much you were given. There's a two-step process here. There's the process of being humbled, and then there's the process of being lifted up in Christ and saying, everything that I have because of God. Didn't Paul say that? He went down the list and he said, you know, I am chief of Pharisees, you know, I have all of these things. And he went down and listed his resume, per se. And at the end of it all, he said, I count it all but lost. And yet I count Christ as everything. And that really should be what drives us. So our hearts ought to be different. And that's how Thanksgiving changes us. Psalms chapter 50, and this is where I wanted to spend some time looking at this. Psalms chapter 50 is an interesting chapter. The first probably 13 verses are really talking. What it is it's God speaking to the nation of Israel. And he addresses them, and what Israel was doing was they were bringing these sacrifices to God. They were making their offerings to him. But their heart wasn't in it. And it's interesting because look at chapter of verse... let's start off in verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. You all know that song? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. Well, you know what's interesting? This verse, that song kind of talks about it like, you know, he will take care of me because he owns everything. But this verse that it comes from actually says, hey, I don't need your sacrifices. When you bring your sacrifices to me, it's not like, oh good, I needed another goat. You know, I needed another cow. Thanks for bringing that to me. God's like trying to hoard up this collection of cows. He said, I don't need that. I own the cattle on all of the hills. And so when you come to me with your sacrifices, it's not like I need it. It's not, and, you know, this is a good illustration. When you bring your tithes and you put them in the plate, it's not like God is saying, whew. Maybe pastor saying, whew. But God doesn't need your money. It's a sacrifice of praise. It's glorifying to God. That should be our mindset. You know, and that's why we shouldn't be giving grudgingly, because it's not like, well, you know, God's going to fall apart if I don't bring my money in today. The idea is when you give to God, it's a sacrifice of praise. It's costing you something, but there needs to be that heart on the inside that says, God, I recognize that you have done so much for me that this is just my little way of kind of giving it back. You know, it's the little kid at Christmas time who gives the gift to the parents with the money that the parents gave to him. And it's something small, and it's probably pretty insignificant to mom. It's like, oh, hey, great, I really, you know, I can use one of those. I don't really want to use one of those, but I can use one of those, you know. But they do it because of, it's the thought that counts, right? It's the fact that this little kid cares enough to go out and think about it and pick out something so that mom will be happy. I know all the moms out there are smiling. The ones that aren't smiling are the ones that don't have little kids. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about. The idea here is there's two important parts. First of all, it's the gift. It's the saying thank you. It's the offering that sacrifice of praise. And then it's the motivation behind it. Not grudgingly of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And so when we give thanks, there needs to be a heart that's right and that's saying, God, thank you for what you have done for me. And I am willing to give back whatever I can to demonstrate just how thankful I am. Not because it's my duty, but because I recognize your goodness to me. Point number two, genuine thanksgiving strengthens us. Genuine thanksgiving strengthens us. You know, we are very forgetful people, aren't we? Some more than others. I know I'm extremely forgetful. But we face a trial. We face a circumstance, something that's difficult. And we struggle with it. And then God provides us victory. And then a week later, we're faced with another trial, and we forget that God had provided for us in the past. You see, one of the most important things about giving thanks is that it helps remind us of what God has done for us in the past. Because we're very temporal creatures. We live very much in the present. It's all about the here and now. It's all about, okay, what's going to happen today? I'm very consumed with what's going to happen today. So much so that I think oftentimes we forget about how God has blessed us in the past. So when we go through and count our blessings, when we go through and we say, wow, thank you, God, for this, that, and the other thing, then we're reminded of all the things that he's done for us. And that's why I think it's important to keep like a prayer journal, something that you can look back on. And when I was younger, probably in ninth or tenth grade, I kept a prayer journal. And I came across it not too long ago, and I looked back on it, and I thought, I had completely forgotten. There was a man in our church. He was actually our youth leader, and he, before he got saved, he was in the Navy. He smoked like a freight train, and you know, and he was just living a horrible life. He ended up getting saved, and believe it or not, he got saved, and he had a horrible bout with lung cancer, so much so that both his lungs deflated. At the same time, his wife was in labor with their child, and then he died on you know, the operating table for you know, a good 15 minutes, and died several times. You know, he was clinically dead, but then he came back, and we prayed for this guy, and he ended up, God healed him of that and brought him out of that, and he, to this day, he's an evangelist. And you know what's interesting? I had completely forgotten about that. And when I look back on that, when I look back, I go, wow, I forgot about that. I forgot God had brought something that had been so, I mean, this went on for a year. This was something we had been praying for a very long time. And then for me to look back on that and say, God provided it. God worked in a way that was absolutely miraculous. I mean, absolutely no denying it. And to remember that changes you. It strengthens you. It helps to remind you of the victories in the past. As a matter of fact, you know what's interesting? And this is going to bring, and I'll save that, this is going to be our third point. But yesterday's victories can give us confidence through today's crisis. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms chapter 77, if you would. Psalms chapter 77. Boy, print this one out. Hang it up in your living room. This is amazing. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember the works of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is great? Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among all the people. And look at verse 15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the son of Jacob and Joseph. This verse is so, there's so much strength in here. Because the psalmist is saying, God, you have done so many things for us. We trust in you today. We absolutely trust in you today. And the more you can remember, and the more, see, and it's a cycle. When you trust in God, and when you put your faith in him, and when you depend on him for something, when he provides for you, and he does something that's just unexplainable, and he provides for you, it strengthens your faith. And then you want to trust him more. So there's like a cycle that happens there. And that's why it's important. It strengthens us to trust him in the future. Thanksgiving helps us also to regain perspective. Because, and this goes back to what I said in the first point, when we are thankful to him, when we are giving thanks to God, we are recognizing that we have weakness, but he is strong. It goes back to the simple little song that we sing with the kids, right? They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. And that's what Thanksgiving is about. Thanksgiving is about genuinely remembering what God has done and thanking him for that. Here's another thing, and this is our third point. This is something that maybe you've never considered, but Thanksgiving strengthens others. When we get together on Wednesday night, we are going to be sharing testimonies. We're going to be taking praises, things that you are thankful for, things that you know that God has done in your life, and you're going to be sharing them with other people. Now, we have everybody coming and sharing with people, and some of you don't like to get up in front of other people, and we understand that. But one of the things that's so wonderful about sharing your testimony and giving thanks in front of people is it encourages and strengthens others to say that God has worked in my life in this way and there's hope for you. See, genuine thanksgiving is about, in terms of a community, genuine thanksgiving is learning that God has provided for other people and he has worked in the lives of flawed people so that he can work in your own life as well. It encourages and strengthens. Take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 15, 4. Some of you could probably quote this. For whatever things were written beforehand were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, you know what's interesting? If you study back through the Old Testament, one of the stories that I thought was most interesting was when Israel was entering the Promised Land, when they were entering Canaan, they crossed over the Jordan River. And if you study what happened, you know that they sent the priests ahead with the Ark of the Covenant, and they stepped into the river, and the river parted. And while the river parted, while the Jordan River actually parted, and they crossed over on dry land, God instructed them to do two things. Do you remember what it was? Anybody? Pick up stones. And what did he tell them to do with the stones? To build an altar, a memorial. And he specifically says, I want you to build this memorial so when your kids walk by, they ask you, what are these stones here for? And you are reminded, and you can tell them about how God brought you across the Jordan River on dry land. They built an altar to remind those that came after them. You know what we call that? We call that a legacy. Let me ask you a question. What kind of a legacy are you leaving for others? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for your children? What kind of a legacy are you leaving for the other members of this church? What kind of a legacy are you older folks leaving for the younger ones? The purpose of Thanksgiving is to give other people hope. It's interesting, I'm not too far away from the moving out of the house, you know, becoming independent process. I can still remember that. And it's interesting, I can remember being a teenager and that whole period of not really understanding a lot of things and trying to come to terms and figure out the world. And it's pretty daunting. It's kind of a tricky thing. It's like, because you've been raised under the sheltering of your parents, but now you've got to start making decisions on your own, and now you've got to start coming to terms with reality, and you have to figure all of this out. And it can be a very trying thing and a very difficult thing. And if you have the legacy of others, and you can see in the lives of other people, let me tell you, one of the reasons that I am where I am today, the grace of God, yes, but because my father set an example. I remember walking in on my father and seeing him there on the ground on his knees praying for us. Now, that has an impact on me because I say he believes in this. And so in those times where I'm struggling and I'm wrestling and I'm not really sure what's going on, I can see that legacy that he's you know, the stand that he takes, and that shapes me and that helps to give me strength. That I'm not the only one here. That I'm not the only one who's gone through that. You know, that's why we get together as a body of believers, and because we share these experiences and say, hey, I was wrestling through this. And maybe you're at the point where you say, God bless me. Or maybe you're at the point where you're saying, God is silent. I don't know what's going on. And there's that encouragement that can take place. There's the encouraging each other that happens here. The Bible is a story of flawed men and women that God was able to use. I read about a missionary whose name was John Payton. Not sure if you've ever read about him. Very interesting. I believe he was in Britain, and he was going to go to a small tribal island, and there were cannibals on the island. And someone came up to him and said, "John, you're going to get eaten by cannibals." And he said, "If I stay here, I'm going to get eaten by worms." And he says, "We're all eventually going to die," he said, "but I want to give my life doing something that's going to make a difference for God." That's a legacy. That encourages people. I read a story like that and I go, wow, here is someone who was able to face danger and he was able to take a stand. And he was able to say, it doesn't matter the consequences, I'm going to step forward. Take your Bibles, if you would, just turn to Psalms chapter 102, and we'll end with this. Psalms chapter 102, specifically in verse 18. parents, this ought to be your mantra. This ought to be what drives you. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Did you catch up? The people which shall be created, they're not even around yet, but the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. Those that come after you will see these things that have been written, and they will praise the Lord because of what has been done to you. Thanksgiving becomes a legacy. It's about passing on what God has done for you in the past. I firmly believe that the reason that Israel kept falling into that sin cycle where they worshiped God and then they went off after idols and then they were in prison and then they cried out to God, rescue us, and then they were rescued and they worshiped God and it went around like this. I firmly believe that one of the culprits behind that cycle was the fact that they did not pass on to their children what God had done for them in the past. And if we are not willing to pass on to our children what God has done for us in our lives, then shame on us. And how can we expect them to know about God's goodness if we're not willing to tell them about what He's done for us? You know, let me challenge you practically. And this might seem silly, but I think it's important. Write down what God has been doing in your life. Make a journal. Chronicle your journey that God has been bringing you through so that when your children are able to go back and look through, when you pass on, they're able to go through and look back through your journal and say, wow, God did some amazing things in their life instead of your legacy just blowing away with your death. Look at the end of that chapter. Verse 26. Actually, let's back up to 24. I said, O my God, take me not away in the midst of my days. Thy years are throughout all generations. Of old thou hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. You know, it's very interesting. You're going to die. We all are going to die. We're going to get older. And if the Lord doesn't return, we're going to pass on. And the question remains, what legacy are you leaving behind for your children? What legacy are you leaving behind for the people in this church? The most amazing legacy I think you can leave on, there's the testimony to it here in verse 27. God does not change. He endures forever. So if your legacy is simply tied into your own pet projects, it's tied into who you are as a person, well, it might stand for a little while, and maybe you'll have a public library named after you. But ultimately, if what you are doing is making a difference for eternal purposes, if what you are doing is something that ties in with God, that's a legacy that is going to endure. That's a legacy that is going to unchange, because again, we all are going to die. But God's word and God's person is never going to die. And He will endure forever. So then the question becomes, where's your heart? If you are a Christian here today, if you believe in God and you have trusted Christ as your Savior, if that's something that you have done, then your heart needs to be acting differently. You ought to be, that Thanksgiving ought to be working itself out in the way that you live your lives. It ought to be strengthening and encouraging you for those times that you're weary. It ought to be strengthening and encouraging each other through the times that are difficult. That's why we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's the purpose that we have here. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have never made that decision to say, God, I am a sinner, the bringing down, the saying, I am not worthy of anything, there's no spark of divinity in me, I'm a sinner, and I need your grace to be brought up and to be lifted up in Jesus Christ, then that decision you should make today, and you will have the best Thanksgiving Day ever, being able to say, God has given me so much, even though I'm undeserving, and even though I can only claim it through faith. And that really is what Thanksgiving is all about.